tells me that he's sick of this house. He never says, why don't you get off that couch? He don't cost me nothing when he wants to go out. I want you to love me like my dog. He never says I need a new attitude. Him and my sister ain't always in a feud. When I leave the seat up, he don't think that it's rude. Want you to love me like my dog does, baby. When I come home, want you to just go crazy. He never looks at me like he might hate me. Want you to love me like my dog. He never acts like he...
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I love that song. It's called Like My Dog by Billy Currington, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us Max Bitterman, and he is a dog relator, and he is going to answer any questions that you might have about your dog, either by way of email or by way of phone. So give us a call at 651-437-1460, or you can send an email to me while we're on the air at mo@kdwa.com. That's mo@kdwa.com. Great to see you, Max. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So fun to see you. So tell us a little bit about how things are going. I know you have many irons in the fire, as they say.
We have a lot going on. Right now at the Dog Wellness Club, we have about 60 to 70 dogs a day that are coming to play with us every day, letting us learn and grow and teach and play. And it's just been an awesome experience for us. On the training side, we've expanded our programs with puppies and adult dogs and people who are dealing with trauma and need support dogs. And the diversity and the scope of what we do and how we help people and dogs is growing a lot. It's just been a really, really fun ride.
So you are located where, for people that don't know?
In the North Loop in Minneapolis.
Okay. And how can people get a hold of you there?
Great question. Website. Our training company, Your Dog's Best Friend, it's ydbf.org, the acronym. And Dog Wellness Club is dogwellness.club.
651-437-1460 if you would like to chat it up with our friend Max Bitterman. Any questions you might have about your dog? I want to tell you that I did get an email this morning, and as we're heading towards the holiday season, you know, people, Thanksgiving, whatever, at the end of the year, they're going to be traveling or perhaps maybe going away this winter someplace. People sometimes do travel with pets. I happen to have a dog that travels great. We just actually went on a little vacation with him, and he was so cute in the hotel. It was time to for him to go to the bathroom. He just goes and sits by the door. The only, you know, I mean, he caught on, but even getting to and from your destination can be stressful for a pet. How do you deal with pet anxiety? And then the question specifically is, this woman is going to be traveling with a small dog by plane. How can she make the dog comfortable and safe?
That's a really good question. Anxiety for us as people is a major epidemic, and it's seems like there's a lot of confusion and different schools of thought on it, and you know, by percentage, how many people are dealing with it, it shows that we're a little bit lost and confused ourselves. So then someone says you have this animal from another species in your house, how do you help them with their anxiety? It kind of becomes loaded, and it can easily get distracting or confusing with all the different things you might think of or try to do. My fallback is always to humanize my dog. The more I realize that dogs think and operate like good people, they're socially brilliant. A lot of the things that I think are humane make us like them. It provides a lot of answers that are intuitive for me. So one thing I've come to find with dogs is dogs raised by dogs are much less anxious than people raised by people. So the answer can come within the world of dogs.
Okay.
And I see two major reasons why dogs develop anxiety that seems to parallel why we get anxiety in general. One of the main reasons is the way I am and how I feel and what I need from others is not something I get. So you feel like a sense of lack and agitation, kind of a chronic discomfort. The other one is what I need to do for my family or for my community that's really important, I cannot do. and that's making me anxious. So that happens to dogs when they feel their position and the way they're naturally made to be is something they can't do, or how they think and feel isn't understood and supported. So typically when you go places, if you're dealing with anxiety, everything's fine at home, all of a sudden we go out on the walk and the dog is hyperactive and anxious. We go into the carrying case and go into the airport, they're hyperactive and anxious. What's happening is that dog perceives the need to manage and control how things go and what happens around them and around you, and they feel disarmed by the unfamiliarity and the confinement and the restraint. So for me, the solution always comes not in attacking our problem with their problem, which is we're at the airport and my dog is squealing and stressed out of their mind. We don't just go to the airport a bunch of times and make them panic. A recognition that they must feel a need to make something okay that they can't. Is this something we deal with at home day to day or within the family that can be addressed in a more palatable way, in a way that's more holistic, where then we can go to the place where it's the hardest and the newest and the most dynamic, and the dog can go, oh, okay, it's okay for me to be suspended in air in this bag while mom runs the show. She knows what she's doing. So that's a big case where sometimes people's approach to helping dogs is setting the house on fire to run a drill. Like, oh, let's go where they panic the most. They're showing you, even if you don't have a problem with it, that they are in control of everything and managing how things go.
So should you have your little carrying case out and they can then maybe practice sitting in it? Or
that's an awesome question. So if it's related to the tool that you're using, like the carrying case, I think it's a great idea to keep it open as possible. The one we have for Ohana has like 7 different flaps. And sporadically and randomly throughout the day, dump really good stuff in there. So every time they go explore it, good things happen. So that if you have an aversion to confinement or the carrying case itself, you can knock that out with a positive association.
And what about dogs that are in the car and pant constantly?
Those, in my experience, tend to be the dogs that are managing and controlling the safety of the family all the time. And with everything moving by so fast and them having no control, it becomes a scenario where they feel like they can't do what they need to do for the family, which is qualify and understand everything around us and make sure it's okay. So in general, those dogs are chronically hyperactive and nobody is addressing it or dealing with it. They're barking at the window constantly, sitting on high places, staring out in the distance. They're constantly on high alert. They hit the ground on the walk. The second they hit the ground, they're sniffing incessantly and darting their head around. They're very stressy and panicky about protecting the family in general. And now I have a problem with that problem in the car because I'm trying to drive and they're whining and bouncing back and forth. So that's a great example of where we can get into a trap, seeing only our problems with their problem and not seeing what they're going through.
Well, how do you help a dog like that?
I love that question because I want to create a video called The Behavior Solutions Hack, because it's very confusing for people, kind of behavior modification, behavior training, dog psychology, puppy class, how did my dog get this way? What I've come to find is if I understand dog parenting and I understand puppy phases and I understand natural and normal dog behaviors and dog society in different roles, if I understand dogs, I can recognize what is my dog going through and how can I respond in a meaningful way anytime. For example, a great one is dogs who are reactive towards guests at the door, right? That's a case where obviously they're trying to protect the family. Obviously it stresses them out and they're overreacting, probably not their role or their job. I know how to respond to that dog in a way that shows, I know what you're going through. I know what you think. I think differently. And I can come off in a way that shows you that I could be listened to about things like protecting the family from potential intruders. So there's understanding what they're picking up on to qualify who's talking, what are you saying, how are you saying it, and being able to recognize when they exhibit this behavior, what are they telling me about themselves as far as how they should be and what's good about them? It's kind of a good dog strategy instead of knocking out bad behaviors.
So how do you help them though?
So that one specifically, like if a dog is reactive at the door.
Sure.
So yeah, let me break that down.
Okay.
Discussing this is way harder than demonstrate and practice, but it can be discussed. And so a dog who is super intense and stressed out and reactive at the door is clearly concerned about protection, clearly not good at follow through in decision making because they're overreacting and stressed out. I know that one of the major roles in dog society is alarmist, highly concerned about protection, not very good with a gun in their hand, right? Someone who's meant to report, not to do follow through, right? A tattletale, if you will.
So those are tattletale dogs?
Yeah, we would call a person like that a tattletale. They call them a super valuable and really important alarmist.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a negative label for every role that we share in common with our dogs. They celebrate it and support it. We say, that's what's wrong with you, what makes you special, because we're people. And that's what we do. So the alarmist cares a ton about safety, which is accurate and true and important.
And great.
Is right. And so when I go to the door, I hear the doorbell ring and he goes charging and barking. I'm going to walk gently after him with a big smile on my face because he's doing the right thing. I'm going to go to the window and check and see who it is. Oh, Mo's here.
Yeah.
I want her here. Then I know that I can tell my dog to stand down. What they're reading on me is,
it's all good.
They can tell, right. And so they can read, number one, what you're asking for, which people usually, that works. Their dog recognizes, give me space, back up. The other thing they're reading is how you're saying it. If you don't have composure and clarity and comfort and enjoyment of taking over, in the same breath, you're saying, back up. You're saying, I can't do the job that you know is really important and no one can tell you otherwise. And then you have the friction. The most important thing they're reading about that is where you're coming from. They read why you say stuff. And so if I'm feeling sorry for him or mad at him or scared, and I'm not thinking, okay, this is protection, this is safety, I'm going to protect you from making a bad decision when I set this limit. They know you're not thinking in the same sphere that you should be, and you're not socially tuned in enough to be trusted over important things. So they're reading what I say, how I say, and why. And if I can snap them out of it and project back up like a good lifeguard, they can stand down and let me manage the pool. And there's no bad dog involved. There's no dysfunction. They're not broken. They're not bad. They don't need to feel guilty or wrong and nothing. They weren't held too much or not enough. They just need to be understood for who they are, what role they're supposed to play, and how do I put them in the proper position in situations where they've been wrong about what they should be doing.
651-437-1460 is the number to call if you want to chat it up with Max Bitterman. And we have a call right now. We are going to the phones, and we want to say hello to you.
Hello, Mo. This is the Pope.
Oh, my.
Hey.
Hello to you. It's our friend, Father John Paul Eckert, who also does quite a bit of work with us at the radio station. So it's great to chat with you, and our condolences. I know you had a dog named Buddy for many, many years that recently passed away. Yeah.
I had Buddy almost 13 years, and then he passed away on a feast day, a Catholic Church feast day, on Divine Mercy Sunday. So it was a very mixed day for me.
So now you have a new puppy. Tell us about him.
Well, he's in the car. So if I disconnect or go on mute, it's because he keeps jumping onto my lap and trying to steer the car. There's no hands-free with Charlie in the car.
So now, this Charlie, his name is Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, Charlie Chaplin.
That's his last name, but I called in with his big problem, and so I'm going to change his last name to Charleston Chew.
Okay.
This guy chews everything. I tell you what, I have so many on my shoe rack. I have nothing but soles of my shoes left. All the tops have been eaten by Charlie, and he's a little over a year and a half now. And the more he can destroy something, the more he likes to chew it. He can open bottles. I can put a bottle top on as tight as possible. He will have that off in less than a minute. So I'm calling him Charleston Chew these days.
So your question is how to get dogs to not chew things?
Yeah, apart from removing all of his teeth, how can I keep him from chewing everything?
It sounds to me like he's pretty hyperactive, pretty understimulated, and is prone to getting himself into kind of hyperactive adventures and problems, like constantly chewing, bouncing around, not really listening and staying socially tuned in and kind of relating more gently. It seems like he's kind of always on type of dog.
He is. In fact, I can pull over to gas up my car and have all the windows open, and he knows I'm pulling over, he'll start whining right away and getting out that window like I'm going to leave him forever.
Well, I have a solution for you.
Okay.
You're like, okay, let's hear it.
I thought the solution was get an electric hybrid car or something.
Yep, get an electric hybrid car. Bye-bye. No, the solution is within the sphere of dog parenting and puppy phases. Between 2 and 4 months, their parents put a very high emphasis on relating the right way for permission and attention. So what they teach their children is to use patience, respect, and communication. We tend to nurture intensity, focus, and body postures. So by doing that, they tend to be very on and intense in relation with us and others. And they know full well that we don't know right from wrong at a level where listening to us is significant other than just social graces and being nice to your family. So by enforcing healthy social etiquette for permission, not only are you nurturing a calm, relaxed state of mind to get the things he wants and to influence others, but he's also learning that you know what's needed to make sure everyone in the family stays safe, happy, and healthy. So it makes what you say more significant. Another thing I would start to do is run games, drills, and rituals for showing impulse control that aren't related to obedience and compliance, but rather related to you coming off like somebody who can set a limit over something serious. So instead of dropping food on the ground and saying, leave it and wait and stay, if he goes after it, snap at him like you would if he was about to get into rat poison or about to bolt through a door and run through this into the street and get hit by a car. If you can do games, drills, and rituals where you come off like a very good police chief, he'll recognize that what you say and how you say it isn't just about social grace and making things go well between the two of you, but it actually is significant and important to make sure that everyone's okay.
You know, that's good advice. Could I also apply that to my assistant priest that works for me when I need him to be obedient?
I would definitely, if something happened that was serious, I would definitely try to come off protection and direction competent with people too. So no, leadership seems to be very paralleled between dogs and people. Might be some differences in how we apply it and what behaviors we use, but it's not as funny to my ear as it should be.
Everything, so.
Oh, brother. I hear little Charlie squealing. I hope that he's doing well.
He is, because I closed the window to talk to you, and now he's upset that I don't have his window open to put his face out.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well,
he has to smell everything.
Let's bring Charlie to the studio for the next one.
Cutest little guy.
It's a deal.
All right. Great to chat with you, Father Eckert. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Yeah. And that is going to do it for us in part one of our chat. So if you have some other questions that you want to ask Max Bitterman, give us a call at 651-437-1460. Max, how can people get a hold of you when you are not at the radio station?
Just email Mo.
Okay.
No, our website for our training company is ydbf.org, your dog's best friend. And our daycare and boarding facility is the Dog Wellness Club, dogwellness.club. And you can find us on the World Wide Web.
Excellent. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
He never tells me that he's sick of this house. He never says, why don't you get off that couch? He don't cost me nothing.